Blog Talk Radio.
This is Kathy Holloway Hill, and you are with me for the next 30 minutes on the Living by Design show, and I am so excited to be with you this evening. Wherever you're listening in from, I welcome you, and I know you are going to really enjoy the show tonight. You're going to enjoy the topic. It's very empowering, as all of our shows are, and you are going to receive a lot of valuable tools and methods and tips and information to take your life to the next level. As you may or may not know, October has been designated as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And these are two very important topics in our nation that really need focus and attention. Right now, I am going to dedicate the month of October to Domestic Violence Awareness Month because I think this is an extremely important issue that is plaguing our nation. And not only are we seeing more and more statistics on domestically violent relationships, marital relationships, adult relationships, but we're starting to see it among teenagers, and that is very troubling. So, obviously, there is quite a bit of dysfunction in the household, and the teenagers are starting to take on the characteristics of the dysfunctional parents or the dysfunctional caregivers or whoever they may be in contact with, whoever they may be exposed to. So, we want to bring some awareness to this topic because it's very important, and my guest this evening knows quite a bit about this topic, and I am extremely pleased to have Miss Yvette Attaud, and if I'm mispronouncing your name, Yvette, I'm sure you will let me know when you come on the line. And she has written a book, and it's entitled My Life, My Soul, Surviving, Healing, and Thriving After an Abusive Relationship. And part one is Surviving. Yvette has served on the Battered Women's Justice Committee of Voices of Women Organizing Project in New York, as well as contributed research regarding law guardians to their report, Justice Denied, How Family Courts in New York City Endanger Battered Women and Children. She also received a certificate of completion in victim assistance training from the New York State Office for Victims of Crime. And she has received numerous awards for speaking at high schools and colleges, created and facilitated a domestic violence and abuse training for chaplains called Healing the Body Before the Spirit. And she talks to teens, which I absolutely love because, as I just stated, that this problem is becoming so prevalent among our teens. She talks to teens in various high schools about dating violence and their internet footprint. She's also published an article in Spotlight on Recovery Magazine entitled Surviving the Loss of a Child. And I am so very pleased to have Yvette join us this evening. Her bio is extremely extensive, and we're going to allow Yvette to give you her website when we bring her on the line, and we're going to talk to her about this very important topic. So I am going to bring Yvette on the line. And Yvette, are you there? Can you hear
me? Yes, I'm here. Kathy, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. And I know it was short notice, but I very much appreciate you coming to talk to our guests because this is a very, very important topic. It's something that we really need to be made aware of. And you are a great expert on this. So thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Yvette, I first want to start out and just allow you to give our listeners a little bit more information about your website and where they can find out more details about you and your work, your projects, and your accomplishments and things you've done.
Well, the listeners can visit www.mylifemysoul.com, where they can find out more about the projects that I've worked on, get more information about my book, and even they can download an excerpt of my book and also be able to purchase the book. But right now it's out of stock, so it's sold out. So I have to wait for the next shipment to come in. But they can at least whet their appetite by downloading an excerpt of the book.
Well, that's a wonderful thing. If it's sold out, that means that it's getting out there, and it really does need to be out there among the masses. So please visit Yvette's website. Make sure that you get that excerpt. And then when the book is available and the next batch comes in, please go ahead and purchase that, because this is something that we really need to help our friends and our family members and everyone who you know that's in an abusive relationship. Now, Yvette, I want to take a little bit of a twist and turn to this situation. And everyone is very familiar with the term domestic violence.
Right.
We know what domestic violence is. It's a physically abusive relationship where one partner is physically abusing the other. And physical abuse, for those of you, just for clarity, is that you're actually hitting the person or you know, putting bruises or marks on the person. And that's common. We know that. But what I'd like to kind of talk about tonight and just, you know, go through a few pieces of this is the abusive relationships that are subtle. The subtle situations that people may not even classify as an abusive relationship. They may miss it. Things such as mind control or brainwashing or just using guilt as a weapon and those types of things. So let's just kind of jump in there and talk about some of those type of subtle situations that people may shrug off as, you know, oh, he just really loves me or she just really loves me, and, you know, that's not a problem.
Well, Kathy, it's been my experience, and the hardest thing I find to change is people's perception of domestic violence. Domestic violence is different than domestic abuse. It's two different things, but some people like to use those terms interchangeably or put domestic abuse underneath domestic violence. They're two separate things that happen within a relationship. The domestic violence obviously is a no-brainer. It's when one person is physically is using physical force against another person. For the domestic abuse is something more subtle. It's still a way to cause the other. It's methods. It's methods that are used to cause a person to become fearful or afraid, and it robs them of the right to make decisions for themselves. Some of the subtleties of domestic abuse within the context of a relationship can be confused or so disguised within the terms of the context of a marriage that it's very, very, very hard to spot. Some of the lesser talked about types of abuses is financial abuse. And in the case of a couple or one person being financially abused in a relationship is one person hiding money from the other. Just say, for example, the man goes out and works. The woman always says she never has any money, so the man has to continue working. Meanwhile, the woman is going shopping behind his back, hiding packages and bags and things of that nature. That is definitely one type of abuse. Another type of abuse is the manipulation, and knowing whether you're being manipulated is very, very hard to spot, because it's disguised by love, it's disguised by forgiveness, it's disguised by, oh, I'm going to let that one go. But after a couple of years of it, you have no other choice but to pay attention. another type of abuse that's very, very hard to spot is the sexual abuse. In the context of any relationship, you know, us women are raised, or at least in my generation, we were raised, you know, to that we were just, all we had to know how to do was to learn how to cook, clean, and keep house, because a man wouldn't want us. And there's a lot of women out there who were raised in that genre, in that generation. I'm a baby of the 60s. So, and then you have your religious obligations, where the wife is supposed to be subservient to the husband. But in a situation like that where the husband is stepping out or the wife is stepping out, because it goes in either way, it's in the context of, well, he's still my husband or she's still my wife and I still have to sleep with them. Then you have those that have a narcissistic personality. Now, I urge the readers, or the listeners rather, to look up what someone with a narcissistic personality is like, what they do. They're very manipulative. They can be very charming. Abusers, there's a common thread between abusers being narcissistic, but not all narcissists are abusers. And they're very, very subtle, very manipulative. It could be something as subtle as just lying or not being truthful. Cheating is a violation of trust. So, you know, the person may feel that their spouse or their significant other cheated on them, may know that their significant other cheated on them, and they are not seeing it as a form of abuse. It's, oh, excuse me, it's, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, but I love you, but I want to work it out. No one has the right to be abused in any shape, form, or fashion. It's psychological. It's very damaging, and the psychological scars take longer to heal than the actual physical scars. One of the key differences I tell my listeners, the difference between physical abuse and domestic violence and domestic abuse is that domestic violence is illegal. You can get arrested for domestic violence. You cannot get arrested for domestic abuse. It's verbal abuse, calling someone stupid, you're not worth anything, you're old, fat, and used up, no one would want you, like what was said to me in my abusive marriage. It really tears a person down psychologically and emotionally. It's designed to reduce the other person to nothing, to zero, where the person that's being abused becomes totally dependent on that other person. It could be for finances. It could be for anything. Situations that I've come across in the past is where the woman is not working. She's at home with the kids. The husband is out working, and he's running around. He's cheating. And if he doesn't feel like paying the bills for that month, then he won't. Then the woman and her children are basically at the mercy of that person because he's holding finances over her head.
Wow.
There was a situation some months ago which really, really touched me. A woman that happened in New York, a woman drove her van with, I believe it was three of her children, or four of her children, ranging from 9 years old to, I believe, 18 months, and just drove her van right into the river and killed all but one of her children. And that really touched me because I read the story and I gleaned, you know, knowing what I know about domestic violence and abuse and how the media reports it, I was able to glean from that she was being abused and she couldn't take it anymore. What would drive a mother to kill herself and her children? And that's the extent of the mental abuse, the psychological abuse, the emotional abuse. Those are so hidden and so they're in such a stealth manner that the person involved won't know what's happening to them until it's too late. They won't say, I'm being abused. It could be that they grew up like that. They grew up in a household where people are always yelling and screaming and calling each other names. No one has the right to do that to you. No one has the right to call you out of your name. No one has the right to take away from you your right to make decisions for yourself. But unless
right.
you know those signs and you recognize it, it's too late. The damage is already done. It weakens you. Like I said before, it weakens you emotionally. It weakens you psychologically. And it takes a lot to pull yourself out of that and be able to step out of that relationship
right.
and say no more.
That's right. It does. So it does, because I've been there as well. And I want to talk a little bit about this lying piece, because I know this is going to be a major eye-opener for a lot of our listeners as far as the lying. Because
mm-hmm.
you mentioned that, you know, lying is a form of emotional abuse, and I also agree with that, because I remember when I was in my abusive marriage, and it was emotionally abusive, and I was told that I was lied to protect my feelings. So it was, you know, my spouse tried to turn it into a positive thing for him, that he was actually doing something for me to protect me, which is a bunch of proc, we both know.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to talk a little bit about how victims in these subtle situations can see that lying can be a form of abuse. Because
well,
I know there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of lying going on, and a lot
mm-hmm.
of probably ladies get caught in that trap, more so than guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm sure it's across the board, but there's a lot of lies going on. And the other partner may know that the individual is lying, but they just shrug it off as, you know, well, that's just a character flaw or something that, you know, he'll get over, she'll get over, and, you know, they didn't really mean it, and I'll just kind of keep my eye open and watch it. But talk a little bit about, you know, what form of lying and what they need to look for, patterns of lying and that type of thing.
Well, first, Kathy, another hard thing I've found is almost like impossible to do in changing people's perception of domestic violence is to stop calling us victims. We're not victims. We're survivors
mm-hmm.
in each and every
right.
right. You know, we survive. Being a survivor of an abusive relationship is relative to that person's own situation. If
right,
a person
right.
the night before gets physically abused by their partner and they wake up the next day, they are a survivor. Those of us who have left those abusive relationships but are still dealing with the emotional baggage, the emotional damage, we're still survivors. The only victims, the only people that I will call victims are the ones that have lost their lives to domestic violence. And that has been, you know, using the word victim is not an empowering word. This is
right.
also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And when you talk about or you hear about someone who's been diagnosed with breast cancer and everything that they have to go through, automatically they're called a survivor. But when
that's
it comes
right.
to domestic
right.
violence, they're, you know, the person involved in that abusive relationship is referred to as a victim. And the word victim
mm-hmm.
is not empowering at all. And I like to use the word survivor and replace the word victim with survivor. That's number
right.
one. Number two, as far as the lying is concerned, it's a violation of trust. When you're in a relationship with someone, it doesn't matter if it's a same-sex relationship or not. Each person comes in, is supposed to have a certain level of expectation coming into the relationship. And one of those expectations is to have a certain level of trust. Lying is an abuse of trust because you have taken away, lying to someone takes away their right to make a decision for themselves. If a person says, well, I lied to protect you, if you're not really thinking about it, you're going to say, oh, that person really loves me because he did something to protect me. But lying is hurtful. Lying is very, very hurtful. And I always take the stand, you know, if someone lies to me, you know, you have insulted my intelligence. You have taken away the right for me to make decisions for myself by lying to me.
That's right.
And I don't appreciate it. I said, if you tell me the truth, I might be mad at you, but I can't say you lied to me. So, you know, me being mad at something you said is far better than being lied to.
Right.
But definitely there's so many different forms of lying. Like I said, used the example before of the woman that goes shopping and hides the packages from her husband.
Exactly.
And
for
she doesn't have any money.
And for those of you who are just joining us, we're talking about the subtle situations that arise, and people are not aware that they're in abusive situations, that they just shrug it off as being, you know, this is just something that happened. So we're kind of focusing on, we know that domestic violence exists, and we know how domestic violence is defined. But we're trying to focus on the subtle situations that are considered abuse, and we want you to be aware of these situations so that you can, as you stated, Yvette, make mm-hmm. sure that you are a survivor and that you don't remain in that situation, that you're aware of these things. And the financial abuse has been discussed about hiding money. That's one of the things we've talked about, and manipulation, sexual abuse, and spiritual mm-hmm. abuse, religious abuse, and, you know, lying is a form of abuse. So we've talked about all those pieces, and these are very important aspects of the abuse. Now, let's look a little bit at how some partners use guilt as a form of abuse.
Go ahead. Now, well, using the guilt is definitely a manipulation tactic. It's thinking of an example. Case in point, I suspected my ex-husband was cheating on me, and mm-hmm. I asked him about it. He says, at first he says no, then he says, well, We were going into a store, because I'm getting my story confused with something else. We were going into a store, and he says, well, let's walk this way because it's shorter. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. There's two entrances to the store. As long as we both get in, it doesn't matter. Coming out the store, so he was already upset that I didn't do exactly what he told me to do. Coming out of the store, he said, well, let's walk this way because it's shorter. I said, once again, what difference does it make? And I got to the car before he did. Mm-hmm. What ended up happening was he turned around, he looked around to see if anybody was watching, and there happened to be another couple walking into the store. He started to yell at me. He said, this is why I always kick your bleep. Because you never listened to me. If you did what I told you to do, I would never have to, you know, put my hands on you. So it's that kind of a guilt trip. If I didn't have it, you know, because I didn't have his dinner ready at 6 o'clock on the nose when he walked in the door, yeah, I deserved it. Or his dinner was really ready at 6:05. It was 5 minutes late, and he got mad, and it was my fault. No, it's not your fault. Abusers, it's been my experience, you know, out of all the people that are abusive, only a small percentage of them are abusive for organic reasons. When I say organic, mm-hmm. I mean because of mental illness. For the most part, you can't even say drugs or alcohol made me be abusive, because you still make a conscious effort, a conscious choice to abuse. Abusers make a conscious choice to abuse. And they pick out certain types of people that they can abuse. It's like I said, the lying is definitely one of those things that are, you know, it happens in the context of a relationship. Nobody is perfect. But when they start trying to make it seem like they're doing you a favor by lying to you, no, that's not correct. You deserve the right to know the truth. If you suspect your significant other,
and that way you can make your own intelligent choices and decisions on how you want to handle the situation. Because I always told my spouse, you know, when I was in that lying situation, that is a form of control, because you are denying me the opportunity to make a choice on how I want to handle the situation.
Right. Now,
tell me the truth and then let me decide how I want to handle it. Don't lie to me and then you just make the decision I'm going to lie, because I want to deny her the opportunity to decide if she wants to put up with that or tolerate it or move on.
Now, also, too, I want to just throw out there that in the context of, say, lying and cheating, which, like I said, both are abuse of trust, If a person goes out and cheats on their significant other and is confronted with it and they lie to their significant other about it, okay, you've just robbed them of the opportunity to make that decision as to whether they want to stay with you knowing that you step out and cheat. But
right.
if that person continues to go out and cheat and lie about it, and let's say brings home a disease, now you
right.
have robbed this person of two rights to make two decisions for themselves. This person,
correct.
Number one, the decision as to whether they want to stay with you while you know knowing that you're cheating, and whether they want to stay with you knowing that they can catch a disease from you. So it just spirals out of control. And I always tell people, you know, that when I speak in public about my experience and about my book, I always tell them go with your gut instinct, which is very, very hard to trust. It's when, you know, that confusion comes in when your head and your heart say two different things. Your gut instinct is what guides you throughout your life. It's that little butterfly feeling that you get in your stomach that gives you the indication that something is not right. It's something as
simple as you know what, Abed, I always say that your gut instinct is your connection with God. It's your God speaking to you. It's your spiritual side. It's your core essence. It's speaking to you. And if you will be quiet and settle yourself down and just quiet your mind, you will hear it and you'll get the message.
Right. But for most of us that are trapped in an abusive relationship, it's very hard to sit still and be quiet and hear what is being spoken to us. And
That's right.
I do understand how difficult it is. It's part of one of the reasons why we stay. It's one of the reasons why we stay in these relationships for so long. It's how can I say it? It's familiarity. It's something that we're familiar with. There's a lot of
right.
things going against us. When
a lot of it, and a lot of it has to do with being stuck in your comfort zone, which a lot
right.
of us are caught in a comfort zone, not just in domestic violence situations and domestic abusive relationship situations, but just in general. So
right.
I can imagine that it's very, very difficult. And another thing I wanted to touch on, because we're coming up on our last 3 minutes of the show, is that there is a lot of spiritual and religious abuse going on. And let me explain what I mean when I say that. There are, I know a lot of people who really want to just develop their relationship with a higher power, develop their relationship with God, and they want to work on that. Yet their partner may say something negative about it or not attend church with them or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I want everyone to be aware that that also is a form of abuse, psychological abuse, spiritual abuse, religious abuse, you know, whatever name you want to put on it, that that's also a form of that. If they are giving you a hard time or criticizing you or even making negative connotations toward the church, that everyone there is a hypocrite, so why are you going anyway? That is a form of abuse. Is that correct?
Well, that's just one part of it, spiritual abuse. There's two sides to spiritual abuse. There's the
mm-hmm.
side of spiritual abuse where your partner tries to keep you from practicing your religion or serving your God or your higher power. The other side of spiritual abuse is when the church, the religious leaders, the clergy, do not understand domestic violence, what is involved with being in an abusive relationship, and they want to tell that person that's being abused, go home and pray, or because they don't know how to help them. My religious leader, when I told him what had happened to me, that my, you know, I lost a daughter, lost a child because I was assaulted while I was pregnant, he told me that my daughter's death was a punishment for my sins because I married someone outside of my faith. That is a classic example of religious abuse. That's why I developed the curriculum, Healing the Body Before the Spirit. Get ask the person what they need. Ask them what services do they need. Do they need help with their children? Do they even need financial help? Don't just hit them over the head with the Bible and reading scripture to them, because you're sending them back into that abusive relationship.
That's right.
And they're not
That's right.
open to hear your message because they're
right.
too busy trying to survive to the next day. But the moment
That's
you
right.
start
and
healing
that,
the body,
and then I'm
need.
Sorry, we're going to have to have you back on the show, because this is a fabulous conversations, and we're coming up on the last 40 seconds of our show. Believe it or not, it went so fast.
Yeah, it
but
did.
We're definitely going to have you back. You have been a wealth of information, Thank you for sharing your personal story and your experiences. You have helped so many people. You just don't have an idea how many people you have helped by sharing your knowledge and your information. So thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're going to sign off for now, everyone, and we will be back same time next week here on the Living by Design Show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.